Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House daily reading of the chronological Bible. And believe it or not, this is episode number 100, where I simply read the Holy Bible, God's holy word, God's infallible, inerrant, pure, unadulterated word, in the King James Version each day, in chronological order, with my family. This unique Bible, this unique viewpoint, allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story, a single true story. This is not fiction, and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we are reading Exodus chapter 6. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray, and I hope others will pray and not listen to me. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you for teaching me to pray and teaching me how to pray so many years ago. Lord, my prayer and my desire today is that other people would put one foot in front of the other and start praying to you. They will never develop a personal relationship with you without prayer. I pray for the people here. I pray for the people all over the world. If they know you as Savior, if they have truly believed in you as Savior, as their personal Savior, help them to pray and not to listen to other people pray, but to have something to pray all of the time and to learn how to pray through. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. Now, Lord, fill us with your energy, your strength, your grace, your mind, your unction, your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word and to understand it and to apply it to our lives, to share it with others in a discipleship way, for we all need your holy word. And then, Lord, to proclaim your holy gospel. And Lord, as you know, on a daily basis, we cannot do this, even though we have done it in the past with your grace, strength, and power. We cannot do this without your power, your unction, your anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell. And Lord, I do pray that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Judas, Sanballat, and Tobias out of the hearts and minds, Lord, and souls and spirits of the people here and the people out there who have that problem. Lord, you know who they are. They know who they are. And Lord, I do pray that you would save their souls and rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from their minds today, and give them sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And give us all sweet victory today over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, cast out these demonic spirits, sins, flesh activity, and attitudes. The demonic spirits and attitudes of sabotage and betrayal, treachery, pride, stubbornness, and rebelliousness, hindrance and distraction. Lord, open people's blinded eyes and stop their deaf ears and help them to see and hear when the devil is motivating them to do something against you. Help them to realize, Lord, that they are not getting back at or hurting a human being. This is one of the deceptions that the devil puts in their minds. Help them to understand that they are attacking you, and they are trying to hinder the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel and his word from going forward. And so, Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us all who are saved to be prayerful, sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. And Lord, help no one to lose their minds because a certain prayer was answered or a certain blessing came through. We all ought to be thankful, but sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. So help us, Lord, to do that today in every way. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to walk by the power and the unction of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, I do pray for everybody connected to this ministry in any way. And Lord, I do pray that you would take us by our feeble and weak hands, truly lead us, guide us, and direct us in the path and in the way that you would have us to go. And Lord, direct us through your holy word as we read it. Lord, have it to speak to our hearts. Help us not to just read it, but Lord, to understand it and hear what it has to say to us personally. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would help each and every one of us and grant us your grace to become new people in Christ. Help us to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face as believers in Christ, to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, if we do right, we pray that you would deliver us from our distresses and afflictions and troubles and cares and worries and anxieties and problems that we face in this life. And give us peace as we sail through them. We cast all care upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Help us to not be afraid of anything. And Lord, we pray for the salvation of the lost today, for the revival of the saved, for the healing of the sick. If they are your children, help them to call for the elders of the church for prayer, but help them to be honest about their sins. Help them not to take communion tomorrow if their hearts are not right with you and they're living in sin, lest they die, as so many have, Lord, in recent days. And Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, comfort those who are grieving. Draw them to yourself, Lord, for salvation and comfort. And Lord, we pray that you will be with us throughout this day as you have in all of the other days of our lives. Thank you for the precious memories, Lord, that you flood my heart and mind and soul and spirit with. And Lord, help everybody to live in such a way that when they get older, they will have precious memories so vivid that they will never need to watch a video. They will never need to look at pictures. And so, Holy Father God, we pray tonight, or rather this morning, we pray this morning that you'd bless and protect our families that stand for you, our ministries that stand for you, our churches that stand for you. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would protect us from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. Lord, you made it very clear to us that we need to watch and pray because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help us to remember that throughout this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, Thus saith the Lord, the Word of God. Yes, on a Saturday morning. And before you run out there and go to Walmart and to Target and do all that you want to do, make sure you put the Lord first. Make sure you pray and ask the Lord to lead you and to guide you and to direct you all day long so that things will go smoothly, decently, and in order. And if there is a problem, you will be able to sail through it smoothly and calmly and peacefully, and that you will get everything done that is a priority and still have some margin in the day, what I call a Sabbath of the day, where you have 2 to 3 hours a day where you can do something that relaxes you or that you like to do or that you want to do. Don't be the kind of person who's always pushing, and they don't have any downtime. That's, to me, is not a life worth living. Yesterday evening I had a little margin time, which I have every day. You know why? Because I put the Lord first in the day. See, I've already prayed and everything already this morning. I'm doing this for, as instructed by God, for others, for you. And I know you're antsy and you're ready to bounce and go do some stuff, particularly on a beautiful day like today. But I just need to remind you, people die from car accidents on beautiful days like today, all the time. You understand? Bad things happen on beautiful days like today. So you need to put the Lord first. I had a little margin time yesterday, and and I confess and I admit, because 30 years ago I watched a movie called Coming to America. It was a unique concept, pretty popular at the time, and so I took the liberty to do that. Of course, I don't agree with everything that is said and done, so don't try to tell me about all of that. And so I just found it interesting and just kind of strange to be here 30 years later. After 30 years, you got Coming to America too. And so I took the liberty to watch some of that. Again, I don't agree with everything that's said and done, but I'm old enough in the Lord, I can handle some of that, and it doesn't bother me. That's what I did. I had a little margin time and heard about this, and I marvel that this is something that is happening 30 years later. It was just one of those surreal kind of a things. Number one, that I'm still here after 30 years, which I never thought I would be. And for something to last in the American mind this long, and for it to be remembered so much by black and white people 30 years later, and now you have all this buzz, and it's just amazing how some of the people, almost everybody who was alive and in the movie back then, it's just amazing. They are alive and well, and they're in this movie. Even James Earl, I forget his name, James something, James Earl, whatever, I forget his name. James Earl, he was in the movie back then. Amos, these guys are old, they've been around for years. James Earl Jones, is that his name? James Earl Jones, is that his name? The actor? Yeah, with the distinct voice. It just was an amazing little thing that I enjoyed doing. Can't say I enjoyed all of the parts of the movie, but all I'm saying to you is put the Lord first. Make sure you pray fully. Don't skip and skimp on God when it comes to prayer. You know, everybody's prayer is going to be different if you're saved and you love the Lord. God is going to give you a prayer in your breast, so to speak, in your spirit, that you have to pray. That needs to be prayed. You can pray the Lord's Prayer as well, but that prayer, that personal prayer that He has put in your heart, you got to pray that. You have responsibilities and obligations to pray that. Read His Word, because He speaks to you. And not only that, you need to listen to God when you pray, because if you are a child of God, as soon as you start praying, He's going to start speaking to either stuff you need to correct. He's going to remind you of stuff. You don't need to stop praying. You need to write down what He reminds you of. Now, the devil going to remind you of some things too. Don't write those down. Just write down what God tells you, and I hope that you can discern that. Because as the young lady said, the devil is a liar. And then she added, he's a deceiver too, so don't listen to the devil. And then once you do that, you go ahead on out there and have yourself some fun shopping or whatever you got to do. And shopping for basic things can be fun. It can be fun. And just being in the mix. Okay, that can be a relaxing thing to some people. That may be your thing. As long as you're not wasting money and you got a list and you're going by the list And you're allowed to go get one thing that's not on the list, one or two things that they must contribute. Okay? And do your work early and get your hard work done first. Don't leave the house in a mess with dirty dishes and everything, and go out with a clear conscience. Don't commit the sin of dirty dishes in the sink. Leaving dirty dishes in the sink and you going out to enjoy yourself, you all dolled up. No, that's a sin. Don't do that. Joyce Meyer said it's a sin, so you go ask her, don't get mad with me. And do it with a smile, and do your dirty work with a smile, and enjoy the process, my beloved, and not just the destination. The destination, my beloved, is in time to come. Because I sacrifice and raise my children by myself, I'm reaping the benefits of that today, in time to come. If you are a good wife and a good mother to your children, the process can be ugly sometimes and difficult and dirty jobs. Now, one thing I give my wife some credit for, she has never minded when I, now she would never volunteer for them, but when I told her to do some dirty jobs, she didn't really want to do them on her own. But when I told her to do them, she did them. She didn't have a problem doing dirty jobs. You know the dirty jobs. Washing dirty cloth diapers. Got to get with it. Cleaning a dirty bathroom. Yes. Washing dishes. Sometimes with stuff caked on and scrubbing frying pans and stuff like that, see, cleaning dirty things that happen. I give her credit. Now she didn't do it voluntarily, but when I told her to do it, she didn't have a problem doing it. And I'm thankful to God for that, because I'm not big on doing dirty jobs, and so I've never done any. She's done them all. And my children have not done that many either. She's done them all, so that's good. I give credit where credit is due. But do the dirty jobs, man. It's, you know, raising children and having a family is not always, contrary to what you say, you people, you prosperity gospel people. It's not pretty. It's not always beautiful and wonderful and dandy. It's not. But you got to learn how to love the process and not just the destination. See? Now, there are people like myself and my oldest daughter, Danny. Daniela, Danny White. Danita, to a certain degree, Danita Evangeline White, we're pretty naturally positive, upbeat people. And so it's a little bit easy for people like us, but everybody got to learn how to endure and enjoy the process, not just the destination. See, you got to make the process like the destination. Otherwise, you're not living. Do you hear me? There are people who are always racing somewhere to a destination, thinking that once they get to the destination, they're going to be happy. My friend, you are deluded. You are deceived. Okay? And you're going to find that out after you get through shopping. You're going to have a big old childlike letdown once the shopping trip is over. See, don't let yourself be that way. I have trained my children. I used to sit in the car before we went to Chuck E. Cheese for a birthday celebration. I said, now listen, I know you all excited about it, and you're excited about going, and you're excited about what's going to happen when you get there and everything. But now listen, that's going to end now. Okay, so I want you to prepare yourself for that, and so that you won't have a big old letdown, and that your trust and your faith is in the Lord, who is the party, always, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's how you need to be Christian adults. Stop looking for something, looking for an event to keep you going, to keep you happy. My God, may God help us to not be that way. And that's one of the things that was wrong with the church before the plague. Everybody trying to go somewhere and get somewhere. Everybody got to be running somewhere to stay happy, to stay upbeat. Can't stand being alone with God. Always got something going. And some of you are mad as the devil because you don't have a whole lot going on right now. You're not meeting at the church every night of the week and all this mess. Doing stuff, creating dumb events that are not biblical. I hope you're examining what you've been doing, and hopefully God is showing you that you were doing some things that were not pleasing to God, and that is really more about you than Him. You're running so much because it's about you. You can't stand being alone. You always want to be in the mix. You always got to be around other people who don't have themselves together. And why is it, beloved, you always want to go to the lowest type of folk, even in the church? Why is that? And you were not even raised that way, but you just want to get with the lowest kind of folk. You know why? Because you got corruption in you. You got failure in you. See, and God does not want you to be that way. God does not mind you reaching down to help folk, but you don't need to go down there with them and stay with them and get caught up in their mess and their failure and their losership and foolishness. That's, you got to stay healthy so that you can help people. And contrary to what the devil has told you, and contrary to what the folks in the church have told you, yeah, your mess is going to be a message, child. No, that's a lie. The devil is a liar and a deceiver too. We don't need any more people with messed up lives trying to give a message. No, especially when you were raised right and you got some sense. Why you got to go down to the lowest type of person, always down in the gutter, and you're going down just to be with them. You're not going down there to pull them up. Here you are, college educated, saved, and saved all your life by the grace of God. You got lowness in you. You got corruptness in you. You got you want to be with the nasty people all the time. And there's something wrong somewhere. Maybe you have never been born again. Maybe you slipped the Mickey. See? And my point is, the Bible says, come out from among them. People who are living low down lives and wicked lives and homosexual lives and people who have divorced and remarried and so forth and still whoring around, because that's what happens. Very few people are like Charles Stanley. His wife left him for no reason. He never married again because he knew. Nope, I can't do that. I got to go see God one day. I'm going to try to work it out with her. If it doesn't work out, that's just it. See, and you start doing that right there, you start running with them, that's how you're going to end up. Don't be ashamed of how God has raised you and blessed you. Don't let people, peer pressure, want to make you dirty. They want you to be dirty like they are. They won't get any satisfaction until they cause you to fall and have a messed up life like theirs. You don't have to do that. Stay with God. Stay clean and help people. You want to get with them? Go down and help them get their act together with a positive message, not a negative message. You don't have to become a whore to help whores. I know some of you don't like that, but you don't have to. You don't have to become a pimp to help pimps. You don't have to become a whoremonger to help whoremongers. You don't have to have a broken marriage with all of the pain and mess that goes with it, divorced and remarriage and multiple sets of people and children and all kinds of mess. Talking about we family now. No, we're not. I don't know you. To help a family out. And why is it that the church is wanting to help, got to let families fall flat on their face and be destroyed by the devil before you want to reach out and help? Help them from day one. If you marry them, help them from day one. You, if you have a healthy marriage yourself, pastor and wife, try to mentor them a little bit, but turn them over to some families that, if you're raising children yourself, shut up. You still got little children, you're a pastor, and so just be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. I hate to tell you that. You don't know what you're talking about. Just preach the word. That's what you need to do. But you don't know what you're talking about if you have not raised your children completely. And I've always been that way. I've always been that way. These young little newly minted preachers who come down from the supply line from the cemetery, and they 22 years old, and they just got married. They may have a child, a baby in the oven. One just came out. They're going to try to tell me about marriage and family. But sit down, son. I said, sit down, son. You don't know a doggone thing. Be quiet. When I read in the book, by Dr. So-and-so, you need to really be quiet now. Come from the Bible and preach the word and be quiet otherwise. But there are couples in your church who have done the doggone thing. You understand? And they're still married after 40 years, 30 years, 35 years. And they have raised their children, and their children are decent citizens and members of the church, you know, or some church where they belong. And they're going on with their lives, and they have not fouled up their lives. Okay? You need to start a marriage care for them. And let these older couples, if they have a good track record, they don't have any perversion or anything in their record, mentor these young couples all the way through. For as long as necessary, at least the first 10 years. Let's start a marriage care movement. If I had the time, and if I was a much younger man, I would do that. And get rid of the divorce care. Let's get rid of that altogether. It means nothing. Using divorce, using a sin as a evangelistic tool. May God help us. May God help us. And then you're messing up young people's lives, hooking them up, so-called single people. They're not single. They're divorced. They're married. They already have a wife. They already have a husband. I don't know what you're talking about, single. They're not single. Get them out of the single group. I don't care if you like it or not. Those old dogs and the old doggettes don't need to be in the single group. That's like putting wolves in a chicken coop. They're going to devour your single people and have them committing fornication and adultery and everything else. Because like Governor Cuomo, who is divorced, the sex drive does not leave. That's the problem with Governor Cuomo, by the way, people. That's the problem. I tried to tell you this the other day. He was married. He's a Catholic. Catholic is, you know, serious business with people like the Cuomos and the Kennedys. He was married to a Kennedy. Supposed to be a storybook situation. It was not. But they don't like to mess. These people don't like to mess with the church. And they lose the blessings of the church. Then, you know, that's why he's single. That's why he's up here trying to get a girlfriend, because he does not want to commit to getting married again, because he knows the church is going to excommunicate him. And he can't afford that, being the governor. He doesn't want that on his record. And so that's why he's looking crazy. See, naturally, without anything going on, men kind of lose it around beautiful women. They just don't. They can be very powerful men, but they lose their minds a little bit around beautiful, fine women. Just naturally, without being drunk, without being sex-starved. But when you're like the governor is, the governor wants something right quick in a hurry. But he does not want to make a commitment to anybody. And men act crazy when they get like that. It's a need that they got to get fulfilled. See? And so, take them out of the chicken coop. Take them out of the singles ministry. They're not single. And the single, watch this. I love you. I'm getting ready to lose a few of you right now. And the single people with children, they need to have their own single group. Single means single. You've never been married. You're single. You might be ready to mingle, but single is single. That means no children as well. I know you don't like it, but they need to go into another group and let the singles mingle with the singles. I know you're not going to do it, but I'm just going to tell you what you should do. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, let's read the Word of God at Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Okay. Just leave it right there in that frame, then move it. Don't move every line. Just leave it like that. Let me read those three lines, then move it. Don't move it. Don't move every line. Leave it like that. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Zohar and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon. And these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations: Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And the years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei, according to their families. And the sons of Kohath, Amram, and Izhar, and Hebron, and Uzziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahali, and Mushi. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And the sons of Izhar, Korah, and Nepheg, and Zichri, and the sons of Uzziel, Mishael, and Elzaphan, and Zithri, and Aaron took him Elisheba, daughter of Amminadab, sister of Naashon, to wife, and she bare him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And the sons of Korah, Aser, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph, these are the families of the Korahites. And Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. These are the heads of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, help your people to gain even more faith after reading your holy word and hearing your holy word, for you have stated very clearly to us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And help people to realize that if you could do what you did for Moses and the Israelites, and you brought them out, you have the power to bring us out as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, when I was a teenager, I wanted to get wisdom and knowledge. So I set out to read the Big Family Bible that was kept in the living room and that many families had in those days. We don't see them much today, but these are huge Bibles. But I couldn't get past Genesis chapter 2 before I got bored with reading the Bible. I just could not understand it. I found out later in life that you have to believe on Christ and get saved before you can understand the Holy Word of God, the Bible. So here is how I became a Christian, and here is how you can too. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, the God who created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sin. Our bodies go to a grave, our soul goes to hell because of our sin if we don't trust in Christ Jesus as our Savior. That leads me to my third point. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8, in the Holy Word of God, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Also, the Holy Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, hell in the lake of fire, dear friends, is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul and to change your life so that you can understand the Bible better and learn it and do it and be blessed by it. And Jesus will save you today. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, believing in your heart that he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world and that he died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins. With your help, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose on the third day. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and by your grace, I will follow him as Lord from this day forward. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.